It's Opening Hand, weekly feature we do as part of All Things Considered during the afternoon drive statewide broadcast every Friday that we have here on HPR One. Helping Hand puts the spotlight on a topic, organization, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are lucky to have a great returning guest organization and guest from it. We are privileged to be welcoming back Aloha Independent Living Hawaii. They are dedicated to giving persons with disabilities in the Aloha State the choice of where to receive independent living services. Majority of board members and staff, persons with disabilities, they're currently state-funded, and we're going to learn a lot more about ways to help them out and how they can help out folks in need. I'm grateful to be welcoming back my guest, their executive director of Aloha Independent Living Hawaii, Roxanne Bolden. Aloha, welcome back.
Aloha, Dave. Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome. It's great to have you. And I imagine there are some organizations, the name is more familiar to folks than others. And I'm going to guess this one is somewhat unfamiliar to many of the people who are listening. So if you can, describe your mission and how you guys function.
Sure. Our mission is to help persons with disabilities with independent living services and programs so that they can live within their own communities and not be institutionalized. And how we go about getting services is either through word of mouth or doing outreach and education. And our services are completely free. We provide it statewide, so we are located here on Oahu as well as all the different neighbor islands.
It's fantastic to be having that statewide reach. And how do you guys get your funding? Besides, I know I mentioned that you guys have state funding. So in all the money that it takes to operate for the year, how does it come?
So we have a state grant for independent living programs, and you can only get that if you are an independent living center, which we are, and we also have federal funding. So it's not just the state funding. We were very honored to have received the federal funding for independent living services as well, and that has helped us to expand our staff capacity on the neighbor islands.
And it's a nonprofit, so it's also getting some degree of donations.
Yes, absolutely.
So private people, corporations.
Foundations. Anybody. Yes.
So it's a combination both between local, state government, federal government, and then these philanthropic sources.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. When it comes to, and we'll get into a lot of different services, so it's really if you have a disabled person in your life, if you're disabled and you're struggling in certain challenges like retaining your independence, being able to stay in your house as difficulties come up, perhaps as a disability increases in the scope of the way it's impacting your life, there are a lot of ways that this organization can help you. And even if you don't hear a way that you think would help you, it's worth it to give them a call because they are strong advocates for the disabled. So while they may not be able to provide a certain service or solve a certain problem, they're probably going to have good advice on who to call. So I just put that out there because I've talked to them a few times. I've been privileged to learn about the mission. So costs to receive any of the services and assistance?
Completely free. You just have to have a disability. That's the only requirement.
So there you go. So let's hear about some of these services. So there is some of the ones that, and there are a lot of new things that we're going to get to that they're up to. And I've been doing my homework on the range of wonderful things that you're doing to stand up for those in need with disabilities. But some of the things include, and you gravitate to the ones you think are most important for folks listening, Roxanne. So forgive me for just itemizing, but peer counseling, advocacy, training independent living skills.
Right.
Transition. Let's dial in on those and areas that you think are important for folks to know about your mission.
Okay. As we know, the disability rate is actually increasing in terms of the numbers of individuals who are becoming disabled or who have acquired a disability, whether it's through age-related conditions or because of a result of going to war or just, you know, regular accidents that happen here and there, suffering a stroke or accidents on playing football or playing some type of athletics, and then they end up having traumatic brain injury or some type of concussion, and now they find themselves in a different situation than they were previously. So one of the things that comes through our office is, where do I go or how do I start from here? And so we would sit down with the family. We would do an assessment. We would try to find out what exactly is their priority goal, because when you become disabled, many things in your life are going to change. You know, not just your ability to function and do some of the everyday things that we do, wake up in the morning, brush your teeth, get up and put on your clothes. Those things can definitely be changed in terms of how we're going to go about doing that. You may need an assistance through a nurse or even a personal attendant or a family member. But even something so simple as I'm in school now and I used to go to school and the building had stairs. Now I don't have access to that particular classroom. How do I go about still obtaining my education but having access to that classroom because now I'm in a wheelchair? Or now I can't speak. I have speech difficulty. So how do I communicate with my teacher or with my family member? Just things like that we take for granted.
Right.
And so we would link you up with the provider that we are aware of. Like one would be Assistive Technology Resource Center. They are the go-to people. If you need a certain type of assistive technology, we would call them in. They would come in and meet with the parent or with the child, do an assessment, and find the appropriate technology for that particular person.
Barbara Fish-Lewitz-Leon.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yes.
She's coming up on the show very soon.
Yes.
Wonderful organization and great to hear that endorsement from you. Sorry,
right.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, not a problem. If you're in school and you need and your child needs certain services, but they're not sure how to go by doing that, maybe it's mom and dad. It's their first time going to an IEP, which would be an individualized educational plan. Mm. Anybody who is disabled and you're going through the school system, they normally require an IEP. But some parents are kind of intimidated by the process. And they don't really know how to go about doing that, we would link you in with Learning Disability Association with Hawaii. You know, they are the information agency when it comes to advocating for individuals with disabilities, when it comes to their education and so forth. So we have different partners, different nonprofit partners within the community that we share a level of communication. And if we have something that we're able to do, we'll do it. If we don't and we know we're not the experts, we're going to definitely refer you to that particular organization. So you can get that particular service.
And that also, dialing in on those IEP can be, for some folks who are parents of disabled children,
Right. They've
had some struggles getting the plans they want, a lot of frustration in dealing with officials. So am I correct in saying that's sort of what you're alluding to, that if you're having a difficult situation with that, this is a good organization to contact because you will help steer them in the way of advocacy that will help make sure that your kid gets the plan and gets the thing, because he has rights. Your child, he or she has rights that have been mandated. And even if you're having a difficult time getting what you need from the school, there are organizations that will join you so that you're not alone in dealing with the school.
Absolutely. And it'll be twofold. So the Learning Disability Association of Hawaii would help with the parents to teach them how to advocate for their child's needs. Then we would come in as an independent living center and work with the student. So maybe within that school system, there's interpersonal relationship skills that they need. You know, if you are somebody that has difficulty in expressing yourself or even making friends, you know, by calling our agency, we can sit down with you, talk with you, and eventually start bringing you and introducing you to different peers amongst, you know, your age group or even older, younger, you know, but basically within your peers to teach you how to develop that type of skill, which helps you when you're in school and, you know, to broaden your friendships, you know, and people that you would normally meet.
Yeah, because that's one of the areas, excuse me, that's one of the areas that disability has a huge impact on, that is a sensitive topic for some, and understandably so, because once your mobility is limited, and you gave perfect examples for the ways that people could utilize your service. I mean, you summed up almost everything in a nutshell there because you gave really tangible ways that suddenly I'm impacted by this. I can't get in my classroom.
Right.
I can't, I need a home health aide, all these different things. But one area that you just mentioned there is it can dramatically impact your socialization because you will start, you may start shying away from going out, shying away from doing things because you run into these barriers. Mm-hmm. And that really can lead to a lot of psychological problems, depression.
Yeah.
It's a real unfortunate but very serious side effect, if you will, that comes along with chronic disability. So I put that out there because I want people to know this is a sympathetic organization that really has a wide range of connections to help try to fight that off. And there are ways to deal with some of that stuff, to try to find places that are more accessible, But also, like you were just saying, that's part of training, huh?
That's your independent living skills training right there. Interrelationship skills, yes.
Right, and to be prepared for that. Yeah. And those are the challenges that make me realize, just as we're talking, how grateful I am that I can walk. It's just... It's so easy to, as you were saying, you used another phrase, we take a lot for granted.
We do.
The impact of losing your mobility can have just far-reaching, just a myriad of ways that it can it can hurt your life. There's this the transition aspect, and you may have mentioned a little bit of that, but assisting younger disabled folks in terms of getting further education or employment.
Right. So we have individuals in high school that would like to do something more with their life, and maybe they don't know how to access going to the community college or even if that's even a possibility. So that's something where they can give us a call and we can help them with that. Now, if going to a higher education is not something that would be the right fit for them, but maybe getting some employment-related skills, then we can go into that different angle. But give us a call. Again, everybody has different goals and different needs, and what may fit well with one individual may not necessarily fit well with another one. I'll give you a perfect example. We used to do a lot of work with the peers in young adults, so 18 to 27 out in Kahuku. Well, a lot of the jobs that they had were all in town. Who's going to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to catch a bus, a young teenager, come all the way down to Honolulu to go for a job? That was just not working for them. So even though they had different social workers and DVR workers that were in there trying to get them some type of employment, it was all the way in town. So it wasn't fitting their need.
And you're talking about somebody who needs a bus that's accessible.
Exactly. But not only that, it's just the attitude of the kids and the...
that's a big uphill challenge.
It is, even if you don't have a disability.
Right.
I mean, how many responsible 18-year-olds do you know that's going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, catch a bus, get all the way into town, and do that consistently? So, you know, that's almost a setting up for a failure. So what we did is actually we looked within their own community and looked at all the different local businesses that were there, brought the teens around and showed them, okay, this is one particular business, this is another business. What would you be interested in learning? So that way, one, we are eliminating the whole aspect of waking up at 5 in the morning vice waking up at 7:30, because they can it takes them 10 minutes to get down to the particular business that they can get employment, vice taking a whole hour and a half to get all the way into Honolulu. So we want to set them up for success and be realistic on what their capabilities are, but also to look within their community, because there's many different areas that they can explore.
And employment for the disabled is a huge issue. And
yes,
it's a key area where many disabled, and that can feed into the whole isolation that I was just talking about when it comes to socialization, because once you don't have that going, it's it's like a domino effect. You in that realm of educating people about these different businesses, do you also have some level of connection to employment opportunities? So when you see a fit that's the right one, let's say someone calls you, I'm recently disabled, I'm now using a wheelchair, but I still have a lot of skills, I want to work, I know it'd be good for my mind. You try to figure out where they are. Do you also have contacts at different job at employers who work with you in terms of getting people jobs?
Yes. One of the main entities is actually a state entity. It's called Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. So their whole primary focus is to get individuals with disabilities employed. So we would link them up with Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. Now, if for some reason they are linked and have been in the system, because normally most of them will be while they're in high school, their special ed teacher or their transition teacher will normally link them with that particular entity. If for some reason it happens, and it happens quite a bit in Hawaii, they don't actually get the service. So they're on the list, they're just not actually being serviced. We have found that our agency has come in at a time where they're at home, they're still waiting for that social worker to give them a call, and nothing's happening. Mom and dad are at home, they're frustrated because their kid or their young adult is not doing anything. They're just literally sitting at home doing nothing, you know. So we linked them up. We initially started a social recreational group to just get them going, you know, find out how many were in that community. Let's get them all together and let's get them doing something physically active. You know, we want to be able to uplift their spirits. You know, things look kind of doom right now in terms of employment, but let's look at what's going on socially so you can gain a little bit more confidence. And while you're doing that, we were incorporating teaching them how to write a resume, how to do basic information. So some of the things people fail to consider is most of the times mom and dads are the ones that are filling out the application. Now, when you're a young adult now, it's your responsibility. Unless your mom and dad have signed up for legal guardianship, technically at 18, you're an adult, you're responsible for yourself. Mm. So it's educating mom and dad too. Like, do you want to be, you know, legally responsible for your child even after they turn 18? Yes. Okay, there's actual steps that you need to take, and let me give you that information so you're handling that. Now, if you want to leave them on to their own free will, and 18 they can do what they want, well, let us teach them how to go about doing that, because there are things that they're not understanding. You know, you need to be able to have your name, know your social security number, know your birthday, give an address. Sometimes these kids don't know that. You know, they know their name and they may know their birthday, but all those other information that is required on an employment application, they don't know. So we started creating these little, we call them cheat sheets, but it's basically all those vital information that they can carry around. So when they are going to fill out an application, they can at least put the vital information on that down.
And is this sort of employment coaching and assistance also available for just the general disabled population?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you don't have to be a child.
You don't have to be a young adult or
right.
a child.
Just painting that picture, so because it's obvious that you have that you're trying to advocate to help these people who are younger, but also so anybody who's disabled.
You
have concerns because you cannot work or your work options may appear limited because of your disability, and may be severely limited, but those are the people you want to hear from, because you want to try to, that's the nut you want to crack, basically.
Right.
And so you do have employers, you have relationships with employers.
Mm-hmm.
That, dialing back to the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, so that's a state agency.
State agency, yes.
And is that, as a side note to this, because you know what I do with Helping Hand and who else I put on and stuff, would that, because it doesn't have to be a nonprofit. Sometimes it can be a government agency that's mm-hmm. doing something. Is that an organization that I should get somebody on helping
him? I think so, absolutely.
Because it would help to explain further about ways to help the disabled. All right,
right,
so at the end, we'll get you, you'll help me get who I need
their
to talk
information,
to.
Yes.
And I'll get them on Helping Hand.
Yeah.
Some of the activities that you've got, there's a lot of new things. So, and some of these are not necessarily new, but they were new. I don't know that we talked about them the last time, but Deaf and Hard of Hearing Facebook group.
Yes.
Is that a new one?
That is absolutely new, and I'm so excited about that, because I just came from a disability conference in Reno in October and have learned that our little nonprofit is actually leading the way when it comes to the social media aspect, because we are reaching a generation that is much younger. Mm. So as we're realizing, although disability was always seen as something that was, you know, tagged with somebody older, you know, when you become a senior, there's disability-related things that go on, or if you go through WAR, but there are also a lot of young adults who are disabled. And the way that they communicate is through social media or through texting. And so we developed a peer support group on Facebook for the deaf and hard of hearing, and we launched it first on the Big Island. Mm. And that is something that's really big, because, you know, as you know, people who are deaf, their first language is ASL. It's not English. You know, so we have people who are our consumers who are deaf that are moderating the group and facilitating it. But it's a place for them to be able to connect, because some of them are employed or they're going to school, and during the normal business hours, you just can't meet each other. But there, nothing says that you can't meet virtually through Facebook. So they've been communicating. The group has developed. I think that we have like 40 followers right now.
Fantastic.
And there are a lot of independent living centers in the mainland that are looking at our agency as
an
example and as a model. Exactly. So we were the first ones. We're so stoked about that, because we didn't know that. I thought that we were actually trying to catch up with other different independent living centers, but no, we're actually kind of leading the way when it comes to that.
There are several pioneering organizations, just to give a plug for Access Surf.
Yes.
I mean,
I know.
Talk about, I get chills just thinking about what they're doing.
Right.
Kua Kuai on the Garden Isle, which is a sort of like a clone of Access Surf, which is just remarkable.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
These are like heroic individuals for those who are disabled. I don't know if there is an organization really that's quite as, so when you talk about groundbreaking, because there's people have not, I mean, this is like people are following that model now all over the planet.
Yes.
It's just so Hawaii is a true innovator, and that's great to hear you that the deaf and hard of hearing community has. And so it's just Hawaii Island or also?
We started first on the Big Island because it is, like its name, very big.
Right.
You know, and so we're trying to pilot it there first and see how that goes, and then eventually we want to be able to open it up to all the different islands.
Okay. Yeah. So that right now, that group is a Facebook group for folks who are on Hawaii Island to, and it's a, kind of like a peer support.
It is peer support, yeah.
Mechanism. It's just innovatively utilizing technology to do it virtually. Sewing group.
We have our sewing group, and that's with our traumatic brain injury group. So there's two different groups. It's called the Hui Malama Po'o, and they are the ones that do crafting. So that's different from the sewing one. That's one. They're here in Honolulu, and a lot of them are nurses that end up having a stroke or something that happened, and they can no longer work in their profession. So and I'll go on to another different thing that I'm doing. But then there's the other one called the Lives and Tangles, and that is a sewing group. And so part of all the crafting and the sewing is part of their cognitive therapy because they have traumatic brain injury. It helps to retain that short-term memory that they've lost as a result of having traumatic brain injury.
And had that been ongoing, or is that a new?
That's been going on. We've actually had that group now for about 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and they meet at different times. I don't know it specifically. Got to look at it on our website. But they meet at the Rehab Hospital of the Pacific, and most of our folks are from town, so it's easy access for them to come with the bus or on handy van.
Senior Roundtable in West Hawaii.
Yes. Now that one is developing because we have reached out to the National Federation for the Blind on the West Side, and that has expanded. And so we are looking at doing a lot of different teachings on how to use the different technologies for somebody who is blind. So it's a group that gets together, you know, with different nonprofits or community organizations, and they basically share resources.
So that's Kona area.
Kona area.
Yep. And NFB, Virgil and Katie.
Yes.
Great folks.
Yeah.
Huge fans.
Yeah.
Great, wonderful guy. That guy Virgil's voice is incredible.
He could
talk about opportunity. He could be on radio. I really have been trying to figure out a way to
bring him up. Yeah.
Just because I love it when he talks. he just has the voice. It's so, it's just warm. It's a great sound.
Mm-hmm.
He could read the phone book. I probably could sit there and listen to it. I guess we can talk about in both talking about other things like those groups that I've mentioned, but new developments that you guys have done that are important for folks to know.
Okay. So we just started filming our Olelo film series, and that's where I was talking about. Our first guest was Valerie, who is from the Hui Malama Po'o. So we talked about, so basically the whole video series is going to be about different disability topics, which there's a whole bunch. And so we started off with our traumatic brain injury group and just educating the public on what exactly is traumatic brain injury. We featured Valerie. So she talked about her personal story. She talked about how the group evolved, the meaning of the name. So the Hui Malama Po'o is actually very, very relevant to the traumatic brain injury group. Hui, group, Malama, your brain, and Po'o is to take care of.
Mm.
So it's very relevant and significant for the traumatic brain injury group. And the group is the one who came up specifically with that particular name.
And they're meeting on a...
They meet at Rehab Hospital Pacific. And I think it's like the first Saturday or the second Saturday of every month.
So it's monthly.
Yes, yes. And they also go out because, again, they're retired nurses. They do free blood pressure checks. Mm. And they do that for Lana Keela Senior Center. So that's something that they do for themselves, you know, and that's part of what they have done when they were nurses. So that's something that's really exciting. Again, we featured our first topic, which was traumatic brain injury. The next topic I'll be featuring is disability etiquette.
How often is the show on?
Well, it's going to be, we're filming like at least every month or every other month, and then it's going to be shown on Olelo as a series. So it just depends on when Olelo has an airing time to be able to air it. So we're looking at our first shot to be aired in January, sometime in January.
It's fantastic. Yeah. That's a great thing. And and please keep me up to date on the TV, because I think that's a good way of spreading your message and helping other people. Because sometimes one of the biggest problems, which is one of the reasons I like to have you on and try to remind folks that don't hesitate to call them if you don't hear the specific thing you need, because a huge issue with facing disability is there are a lot of resources, but it's hard to find them, and sometimes, or it can be hard to find them, and also disability is a huge word. It means a lot of different things, and so it can take away, it can just zap. You were talking about the kid or anybody coming from afar. You know, you got to get up real early. All these, I mean, it's already hard to get from that location into town.
Yes,
you compound it with something like this, and so it's the same. Trying to even find service just becomes call these folks, because Aloha Independent Living Hawaii can help you get into, you know, even if you don't hear anything about what your problem is. They're really dialed in on a lot of resources, and it's important to not throw in the towel without talking, because if my mom had had something like this in her community, she'd probably still be with me.
Right.
You know,
can I share a really good story that just happened? So I went to our Maui office on last week on Friday. So one of the wounded veterans that we work with, his name is Victor. When we met him, I met him 2 years ago, he was in a wheelchair. And he was just struggling because within his community, and this is where Brian's working at in terms of advocacy, is they didn't have appropriate sidewalks. So he would be walking at night with his children, and because there weren't curb cuts, you know, his wheelchair tipped over, right? So when we met him, he was really depressed, just trying to get services with the veterans, you know, and even just with the local community, you know, what do you call it, the city and county, you know, in Maui. Well, today he's walking. And so one of the things that actually inspired him, because he kind of shared his story, and he said he was really depressed and he didn't really know where to go. And then he stumbled across our agency, started coming to our peer support groups out in Maui, and started to meet Brian, started to meet Lonnie, and we started linking him up with different services and different information, you know, to help empower him. I hate to use the word empower, but it is a powerful word, you know, to empower them to be able to speak up and advocate for themselves. And he was a really good advocate. Well, today he's walking, and I wanted to know what that story was, and he had shared it. Well, Brian had stumbled across, Brian is our advocacy director, so for those who don't know that, and he stumbled across that one of the Maui golf courses actually has accessible golf carts, and discovered that Victor liked to golf. So he called up the golf course and said, listen, I have somebody I want to bring down. Can you pull out your accessible golf carts? Because I want somebody to be able to experience golfing. Well, we had an event, and they had donated a ticket, you know, for free golf. So we gave that to Victor to be able to use that. And he went down there and utilized the accessible golf course. And from there, just that experience of being able to do something social that he really enjoyed way back when, but because of his getting into a wheelchair, it wasn't even a thought for him, right. You know. It just rejuvenated him, and he started to get up and started to teach himself how to walk.
Amazing.
And he's walking today. And so what he's done is because of that, and he said that, if I had not walked into your agency and linked up with Lonnie and Brian, I probably would still be sitting in my wheelchair. So he is now being a peer support to another one of our consumers that finds himself in a wheelchair. And I'm not really sure how he ended up being in a wheelchair, but he was able-bodied before. So he wants to be able to give back, and that's his way of not only did he receive some help from our agency, but now he's paying it forward.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, and those are, the wheelchair is a tough thing because sometimes it can be so, you know, my mom's thing was like, she just wanted to walk again and it wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be just so, I don't know what that is like to face. And, you know, and not every story.
Mm-hmm.
Not every story can end, not every disability can be solved like this incredible ray of light that you're showing, you know, and I'm not putting damper on that. I'm just painting. I'm trying because I want to, because I'm speaking to the people who are not going to be able to get out of that wheelchair. And Roxanne may be an angel, but that miracle can conceivably, there are cases where that miracle is just not going to happen. But there are a range of ways that you can try to adapt, and there are people who can help you find the roadmap of adaptation, if you will, and who can, and you'll stumble upon inspiring people like this gentleman along the way. So there are things that can be done,
right?
That and just don't give up hope, because it is it's a hard thing. I don't know. You think you know when you're up close with someone who suffered it, but. Yeah. But you don't really ever know, and it's a huge gift to be able to walk. And yet there are a lot of ways that technology and kindness and making building modifications can create a world where you can still be nurtured and enriched and develop with your disability. And it's wonderful that Brian Hauser is the gentleman that she's been talking about who does this advocacy work, and he has been a guest on Helping Hand previously. What are some of the biggest challenges or roadblocks that, as we turn to ways that folks listening could assist this organization? Undoubtedly, cash, making donations, doing it on a corporate level, getting your company behind the Independent Living Center. Maybe it's have supplies that you need. Maybe there are resources within your office. You know better, but I'm trying to make open your mind to let everybody listening know the ways that you most could use support, and that people out there could make. It could be a vehicle. It could be a new office space. Mm-hmm. It could be lawyers to assist you in some of the advocacy. Mm-hmm. You know best what you need, and there are a lot of people, thousands of people who are listening right now. Tell them what they could do to help you.
Okay, I think the most important one is actually to spread the word about our agency. We need as much outreach or as much education that we exist and that we're actually here to be able to assist you. So spreading the word is probably the first one. Mm. I think the second one is if you do have a skill or something that you are able to volunteer, give us a call, because every island office needs different things. So it's a general statement that you're asking me, but there are many things that I could ask for. But I think if you give us a call and let us know, hey, I'm available, I'm able to assist, what can I do to help you? I will be able to sit down, talk with you, find out what exactly it is that you do, and then say, you know what, you might actually fit really well with our Molokai location, or on Kauai, or on Lanai, or on Maui, or on the Big Island, because this is what they need. I'll give an example. The Lions Club on in Hilo, they reached out to us. They weren't able to do any type of monetary support, but they said, you know what, we know that you folks help a lot of folks that are homeless and to move into a home, and they need help with, you know, just moving their furniture. Anytime you guys have somebody that needs help with that, call us at any time. And we're like, oh, thank you.
What a great example, because that's a real people just helping carry things. When you're disabled, moving anything can be huge.
Yes.
And you're in a wheelchair to try to move stuff. So that's a wonderful example. So volunteering can really be as simple as that. And we'll give the contact information in a moment. But that's a very tangible way to help out, and doesn't cost you anything. It's just carrying, because that's it. When you're in a wheelchair, just moving a box, not that big of a box, can be a big deal.
Yes. Yeah, if you have a certain skill, like with our traumatic brain injury group, one of our staff members, Thomas Lum, his mom's longtime retired seamstress, she's like 80-something years old. She volunteers her time to come down and teach the folks within our traumatic brain injury group some sewing techniques, easy sewing techniques. So she does that every third Saturday or third Sunday of the month, and just giving of her time and teaching them something new. So you may be a skilled tradesman, and we may have individuals that used to do that but don't know how to do that now. If you can come in and volunteer your time, my gosh, you know, what a world of wonder you're going to open up for them, because it actually does something to your soul to know that you can go back and do something, and you maybe have to modify it because you got to use a different way or different technology. But you know what? You can still go back and enjoy some of the same things you wanted to do. And that was the thing about Victor that I wanted to point out, was here was somebody that was stuck in a wheelchair and just didn't even think about some of the simple pleasures like golfing with his buddies. But with Brian introducing him and even having the knowledge that there were accessible golf courts, and the possibility was there, that was the one. That's what actually triggered him more than anything. It filled his spirit, and it gave him that whole idea of, I can do this. You know, I may be in a wheelchair, but you know, I can do this. And from building his spirit and his confidence, and just linking him up with like-minded people, and having the support of our agency when you're there, it really helped him. That's kind of what actually set and laid out the precedence for him to teach himself to walk. But it started with building that inside, and I think that's the most important thing.
And you'll correct me if I'm wrong, because the example you gave is just startlingly, if there are people on any island who would be willing to help a disabled person move things from place to place that they can't physically move, you'd be interested in hearing from them.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it kind of creates a database that you can go to. And the same, if there are disabled people listening and you're having those problems with a physical object, you need to get it from place to place, this is the kind of thing that you want to... This is part of independently living, is having assistance with those. And don't be afraid or embarrassed or anything to ask for help in doing that. And so you like hearing those kind of things.
We do.
Because those are the kind of things you trip on when you're disabled. You're like, how will I get this done? And that's what I meant by if you don't know that an organization like this exists, then those things become huge huge problems.
Right.
And
right.
So it's wonderful that you have that. So a lot of volunteer opportunities is mm-hmm. what you have just painted. And real quick, before I do your contact info, I saw this and it seems relevant. People can shop on Amazon and earmark funds to support your efforts.
Yes. It's through Amazon Smile. So the same way you would normally log on to Amazon, but if you just do AmazonSmile.com, it will bring up the opportunity for you to donate. I think it's like 1% of whatever it is that you would normally purchase would go to a designated nonprofit. And our nonprofit is one of those. I believe ATRC is also on mm-hmm. there as well. But there's different nonprofits. You can definitely do that. And that's a simple way. You're still getting the item that you want. And Amazon donates 1% of whatever it is that you bought to the organization like ours.
And that is linked at this website I'm going to give out right now, which is also the best way to contact them via email. It is alohail.hawaii.org. So the word aloha, then the letters ilhawaii.org. And there's a contact form there. There's also the link for the Amazon Smile that Roxanne was just talking about. You can give them a call if that's easier. It is toll-free, 800-385-2454. And all of this information and the full interview, the radio feature, and all their contact information and all of our previous Helping Hand guests are archived online where you can hear the segments and also get all the information at hawaiipublicradio.org. Just go to the news links and pull down Helping Hand there. Other things, thinking about your program, the things that we have talked about, things that maybe we didn't that you think are crucial or that are important for somebody who's facing a disability or are important for your organization, what are they that we haven't covered?
I think one of the things that we didn't mention that we are looking forward to doing in 2017 is our Molokai Disability Resource and Job Fair. So we know that employment is a big deal. And what we wanted to do is bring together the communities and all the different employers. So it's twofold. It's a resource fair for individuals who are disabled to access the different services that would be available on the island of Molokai, but also to touch base with all the different employers on Molokai that have opportunities. And so that way we're hoping that with our disability and job fair, you can not only show up with your resume, but you can probably potentially meet someone that could be your future employer. You know, so we want to be able to figure out how to bridge that gap, and we're starting that on Molokai. This will actually be the sixth annual one because we're teamed up with the Molokai Occupational Center. We had sponsored it 2 years ago, and then last year there were some different things that went on, and so we didn't have it last year, so we're continuing again for this year, 2017.
Molokai Occupational
Center.
And what is that?
That is a organization that helps individuals find different, there you go, occupations. And it's based on Molokai. So they provide, they reached out to our organization saying that you are the Independent Living Center here on Molokai. We need to partner with you because we do run across individuals that are looking for employment that are disabled.
So not, they do general occupation and right. A portion of it is disabled.
Yes.
Okay, so
and
it's not customized. Just
not for,
okay,
no, yeah.
Just double checking.
Right.
So
right.
I understand. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. There are a lot of resources, and I strongly encourage anyone facing a disability or the loved one of someone who is, and there are challenges, no doubt, in your life, give these guys a shot. Even if we didn't cover it, talk to them, ask them questions. They will probably know who to contact, and they'll have those resources, and that can be critical.
Yes.
And that is empowering in and of itself,
mm-hmm.
to know that there is someone to contact. The organization is the Aloha Independent Living Hawaii, and it is a local nonprofit with the executive director, Roxanne Bolden. Huge resource for what you guys are doing. It's heroic stuff. You already know, door is always open to you, Roxanne. I'd love to have you on the program. I always reach out every year, but if something comes up, if there's an emergency, if there's something that you think talking to our audience would help to put a particular ask out there or something, do not hesitate. It's a huge honor to support what you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much.